Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of you, rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 30th day of April 2019. And I'm delighted to have an old friend on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today, one of my favorite guests, and a dear friend who means a lot to me. His name is Reverend John M. Otis, and he is an ordained minister, an author, and the founder of Triumphant Publications. He's also the director of the Good News Bible Series for Reformation Christian Ministries, and we are going to be discussing Scripture's unchanging authority, the reason the Bible must be the basis for understanding God and His work in the world of man. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend John M. Otis.
It's always great to be with you, Brother Chris. Always great.
Amen. Well, before we go into the subject at hand, let's find out a little bit more about the Good News Bible Series and Reformation Christian Ministries.
Yes, for about 4 years, I've been associated with Reformation Christian Ministries, and one of the parts of that overall ministry is called the Good News Bible Series, which I am now directing. And the purpose of that ministry is that we offer free online Bible courses whereby one can earn a certificate of completion by going through and taking this course. The course is set up in a way that you read a Bible verse pertinent to the subject, and you answer accordingly, according to multiple choice options. And the program that we have just gives you a feedback that you got it right or not, and go back to review, and then you have quizzes after each section, then you have a final test. It's not difficult, but what we're endeavoring to do, Chris, is to get people back into a serious study of the Scriptures. So that's what the Good News Bible Series is all about.
Great. If you could tell us also a little bit more about Reformation Christian Ministries.
Reformation Christian Ministries was begun years ago by Reverend Jeffrey Donnan. And in 1990, I happened to go with him to Nicaragua. It was at that time called Caribbean Christian Ministries. He originally started a course on the Good News Bible Study, which now I'm heading up, and it's basically a gospel course. We have two courses, a gospel course and the one that is on the authority of Scriptures. Reformation Christian Ministries, they have a college. They have a seminary that's located in Florida, and they've ministered in about 25 different countries around the world. So that's just a nutshell about Reformation Christian Ministries. About 2 years ago, the Lord took Brother Jeff to glory. He contracted pancreatic cancer, and it was a great testimony, but the Lord took him, and he got prepared to go be with the Lord and got all of his things straight for all of us, and he's in glory, and we're carrying on the ministry that he set forth many years ago.
Well, I am so glad that you're carrying the torch for the ministry, and for those of you who want to partake in this Good News Bible Series, just go to goodnewsbibleseries.com, goodnewsbibleseries.com. Well, now we're going to be entering into the main theme that we have today, Scripture's unchanging authority, the reason the Bible must be the basis for understanding God and his work in the world of man. First of all, the Scriptures, they cannot be merely viewed, as many do, as a wonderful book of wisdom where we can search through the pages and find things that melt our heart and things that we think are wonderful placards to remember, sentimental things, and even important things that can help us direct our lives, but to the exclusion of everything else that is in there that makes us uncomfortable. The Bible is inerrant from beginning to end. It does not have any error, and it is breathed out of the mouth of God, is it not?
Absolutely. That's what the word inspiration means, breathed out by the living God.
And today we have liberal scholars and ministers who would believe that much of the Bible is true. Some might even say that it is the Word of God, but they do not believe that it is unchanging. They believe that it applies to particular cultures in any particular era of time, and especially the past. And that will especially be made evident whenever you see any kind of a conversation or a debate that a conservative Bible-believing evangelical Christian may have with a advocate of homosexuality or some other thing that is clearly taught in Scripture to be wickedness and a damning sin. And so therefore you will have people say, well, yes, Paul was very opposed to some same-sex relationships, but these were only involved, these only involved prostitution. You might have some of them say that, well, in Paul's day, or in the days of the Old Testament as well, you did not have loving, faithful, monogamous homosexual relationships like you do today. This is basically talking about rampant promiscuity amongst those engaging in same-sex activity. But we cannot look at the Bible that way either. The unchanging part of this theme is very important, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. The problem today, even in the broadly evangelical church, is that people have a tendency, they want to interpret the Scripture according to the majority opinion, the zeitgeist of the day, the prevailing philosophy. And sadly, we are living in a time whereby, for example, on this homosexual and transgender nonsense, is that they want to interpret the Bible in light of what their personal preferences are. There are so many people, that's how they do that. Now, you don't have to be a homosexual or transgender to be guilty of that, but there's a lot of well-meaning people. They go to the Bible to try to prove what they prefer it to say. Well, I've been witnessing to people over the years, and someone will say to me, well, you know, that's your opinion, I just don't believe that. And I always say to them, well, what you believe and what I believe doesn't matter. What matters is what God says, what God has said in his Scripture, which is his revelation. That is what matters. And so that's what the problem that we're seeing today. People, they want to either use tradition or they want to use their feelings as their normative guide rather than let the Scripture and a proper interpretation of the Scripture govern their behavior.
Now, Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley, who has, I think, risen to a popularity that, and I could be wrong, but I think he's risen to a popularity that either equals or even exceeds the popularity of his father today. And he has said some very disturbing things lately in regard to the authority of the scripture, because he only believes some of the scriptures have authority, according to his disturbing quotes. But if you could let us know what...
I would consider Andy Stanley, from what I've watched some of his podcasts and all this. I mean, he believes in the Lord Jesus, and his ministry probably has exceeded in terms of influence his father's, and he has one of the biggest churches, and they have really satellite churches here in the Atlanta area. Well, let me just mention just a few short quotes, and these are off sermons that he's given, and he'll oftentimes put his sermons up on overhead so that people can see what he's referring to. For example, he says, and these are direct quotes from Andy, he says, the Old Testament was not a go-to source regarding any behavior for the church. And he said, the Jerusalem Council, you are not accountable to the Ten Commandments. You shall not obey Ten Commandments because your commandments, namely that was given by Jesus, are better. And he says, Christians are wrong to try to defend the Ten Commandment monuments in public or government places. And he's gone on to say this. He says, participants in the New Covenant, that is a Christian, are not required to obey any of the commandments found in the first part of their Bibles. Participants of the New Covenant are expected to obey the single command Jesus used as part of the new covenant. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then finally he said, first century leaders unhitched the church from the worldview, value system, and regulation of the Jewish scriptures. Peter, James, and Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from the Jewish scriptures. And my friends, we must do so as well. End of quote. Now, those are, I consider, disturbing, and a view of the Scripture that is not honoring, sadly, to the Scriptures.
Yes, it's kind of interesting that Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And at that time, he was clearly talking about, included in that statement, were the Ten Commandments.
Yes, if you go to, for example... Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, talks about that the whole law can be fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. And then actually it's repeated in Romans 13, where that great passage on the role of the civil authorities. It's interesting down there in Romans 13:9. Let me just read that, because I think it's very pertinent here. It says in Romans 13:9, after talking about the role of the civil magistrate being a terror to the wicked, and it goes on to say, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the last time I checked, Chris, those are part of the Ten Commandments.
And I don't know if Andy Stanley said this in any other part of his message, but even our brethren who are considered, or who identify themselves as New Covenant Calvinists, New Covenant theologians, they believe that the Decalogue was specifically meant for Israel, but that Christ reiterated or brought or retained nine of them in the New Covenant. So it's really a Sabbath issue when it comes down to, even though the differences on both sides would be claimed by both sides to be greater than what I'm saying, but that is the primary issue, is the Sabbath. But they still, obviously, believe that thou shalt not kill, and you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all the other commandments are a part of the fabric of Christianity. Now, do you know what Andy Stanley means by what he said, by what you
called. Well, one of the things, there was a podcast that one of his friends, I think it's Michael Brown, I could be mistaken by his first name, had about an hour and a half podcast with him, and Michael Brown took great exceptions with Andy, but he wanted Andy the opportunity to clarify himself. So I listened to that thing a while back. What apparently is where Andy, he studied at Dallas Theological Seminary, and Andy basically, as I concluded, is a hardcore dispensational premillennialist. He would be in the school of the Schofield and others. He studied under Norman Geisler. I know what Norman Geisler once said. He didn't think that the law of God ought to govern a modern society. By the way, that was a debate he had with Gary DeMar, who you know and is a friend of. And he told Gary DeMar years ago, he says, well, Gary asked him, well, what law would you substitute if it's not the law of God as revealed by Moses in the Scripture? He says, well, I'd say the code of Hammurabi might be fitting. So he's choosing, that is, Geisler was choosing the code of Hammurabi over the law of God as revealed by Moses. And at some point we talk about how Jesus was very critical of others, says, if you had believed Moses in his law, he spoke of me. And it would be do well, he said in John 5, if you had listened to the law of Moses, you would believe me, because he spoke of me, Jesus said. So Andy is a dispensationalist, and that governs a lot of what he has to say. And then that began to make sense, his view. Of course, it wouldn't take much to, I think, refute Andy in this regard. As we've pointed out, Jesus said, one of the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And, of course, I read the passage in Romans 13. Paul also wrote it in Galatians 5 that the whole law can be summarized, love your neighbor as yourself. And that is the summary of the Ten Commandments, essentially.
And, of course, we have to clarify that not all dispensationalists followed the historic Dallas Theological Seminary approach to the law and to repentance and the necessity of repentance, the lordship controversy, the lordship salvation controversy, had even dispensationalists divided, where you had Dr. John MacArthur, a very outspoken dispensationalist, but at the same time was in the forefront of defending the lordship of Christ as a required aspect of salvation in addition to repentance, whereas many at Dallas Theological Seminary and other places who were also dispensationalists were saying in a way that really distorted very greatly the concept, the biblical pillar or watchword of the Reformation, sola fide, that was twisted to teach that only your mental assent to the facts of the gospel were required for salvation, and you could continue to live like Satan himself for decades until you die and still expect to go to heaven. That is not...
Yeah, there are, as you just indicated, there are different strains of dispensationalists, so... But he is indicative of one strain, Andy Stanley, that is.
Yes, people seem to make the very wrong and deadly conclusion that to insist upon repentance somehow is siding with Roman Catholicism on the idea that our works contribute to the meriting of our entrance into heaven. But that's not at all what people who believe in the necessity of repentance are saying.
Right. One of the things I've wanted to do in my course titled Scriptures Unchanging Authority is I've got a section called, one of the parts of the course is called The Bible Views Itself as Its Own Authority. So I talk about whole section of Jesus' authority, Jesus' use of the Old Testament, and the apostles' use of the Old Testament. Many times Jesus says, "It is written, it is written." And of course, when he was sent out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil, we should learn a lot from what Jesus did, because I think he set an example for us in all of those temptations that came to Christ. He says, "It is written." And by the way, he's taking all of those from his favorite book that he liked to quote from, Deuteronomy.
Well, one thing that we also have to clarify when we say the Scripture's unchanging authority is that there are people who would agree with that statement wholeheartedly, but they would say, in conclusion to that truth, that we should all be Judaizers, we should be requiring Old Covenant ceremonial law in addition to moral law in the New Covenant, and that's why you do have some aberrant groups claiming to be Christian. Some of them might believe in the gospel, but there are even those that are works righteous oriented. There are cults that deny the Trinity that go that would describe themselves as messianic movements or messianic congregations that are really counterfeit because they some of them don't even believe in the deity of Christ. But the point is that we have to be leery about not being guilty of Judaizing, because that is a damning sin. That's a sin that Paul rebuked the Church of Galatia for being duped to believe by the Judaizers, and he said it's no gospel at all. And he said that those who bring such a false gospel are to be anathematized or cursed to hell.
Right. But, seeing that I'm a Presbyterian minister, the creeds that historic Presbyterianism has held to, the Westminster Confession of Faith, there's a chapter on the law of God. And oftentimes there's a distinction made in the law that many refer to as you have the moral law, which summarizes the Ten Commandments, then you have ceremonial law, that sacrificial system of the Old Testament, of which typified or foreshadowed the work of Christ on Calvary's cross, and then the judicial laws, and now there's a difference of opinion on some as to what continues today in those judicial laws. But with regard to the ceremonial laws, and that was the great sin of the Judaizers in Paul's day, they were saying you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And, of course, that was the basis of Paul taking that troublesome issue to the Council of Jerusalem that we find recorded in Acts chapter 15. So, yeah, I mean, properly understood, we're talking about the unchanging authority, the unchanging, the moral authority, the commandments of God set forth in his moral law, which I think there are implications as far as in terms in the civil realm as well. But with regard to the ceremonial law, that was fulfilled in the work of Christ.
And we do have to grapple as Christians with the fact that that although God himself is unchanging and his scripture is unchanging, that God has dealt with his people in different ways throughout the centuries that his creation has existed. Obviously, there was a day when God spoke directly to his people through divine revelation. They actually heard his voice in their ears, and at times there were appearances, Christophanies and so forth, that do not happen in the 21st century, that do not happen as far as we who are cessationists are concerned after the apostolic era.
Right, in Hebrews chapter 1, in fact, it says, verse 1, says God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things through the world, whom he made of the world. So, yeah, there is a progress in the unveiling of God's revelation, meaning his special revelation. I think we have to distinguish theologically to what several have said, general revelation as opposed to special revelation. General revelation is how God has revealed himself. The glory is glory in his creation. That's what Romans 1 talks about.
Right.
That all men clearly know that God exists and are without excuse. Now, as general revelation reveals a true part of God as a creator, it doesn't tell us anything about how to be redeemed, and that's
right.
Why special revelation is necessary.
Yeah, the general revelation described in Romans 1 is only enough to get us condemned because we're without excuse.
Right, that's exactly right. And so there was a need of special revelation. So there is, in the history of humanity, there is a progress, as we like to know in certain reform circles, a progress in various covenants, as we would call the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. And God is revealing himself progressively in there. But at the same time, while there is some discontinuity, there's an overriding unity of the Scriptures. And that's one of the things that I want to stress in my course, is that unity of the Bible, so that people can realize, look, Jesus quoted often from the Old Testament, and he appealed to the Old Testament in terms of what was expected of us, and the apostles did the same thing. That quote I gave earlier of Andy Stanley, he said, were Peter and James and Paul elected to unhitch us from the Christian faith, from the Jewish scriptures? Well, no, they didn't. I mean, you can clearly go and throughout the New Testament and you see all the places that they appeal to.
Yes, and we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Reverend John M. Otis about Scripture's unchanging authority or about any theological question that you might have that comes to mind, our guest is an ordained minister and has been a pastor for many years, up until today when he is dedicating himself to the Reformation Christian Ministries as director of their Good News Bible series. But give us a call, or should I give us a call? I haven't taken phone calls in years. Send us an email, I should say, to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled
Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is John M. Otis, and we are discussing the Scriptures' unchanging authority. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Reverend Otis, we have one of the reasons, one of the key reasons that we are to view the Bible as our authority, and in fact, as historic Protestants, we are to view it as the only infallible and inerrant authority for the church, as opposed to the traditions of men, as the Roman Catholic Church elevates those traditions of their church to the level of Scripture, and some would say even to the level of superiority over the Scripture. But one of the reasons that we are to view the Holy Scriptures as an authority, as our only infallible, inerrant authority, is that it is true.
Right. Absolutely. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, God inspired all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to every good work. And so, obviously, what Scriptures was it referring to? But what some have said, the Jewish Scriptures or the Old Testament Scriptures, and whatever New Testament Scriptures that might have been already written. So the Scripture is, when God, let's put it this way, someone says, why would you believe in an inspired Scripture, and that's authoritative? Well, simply put this way, that God is the one who has inspired it. Is God capable of error? No. Would God deliberately lead people astray? No. And so it is breathed out, the Scripture is, through His prophets. And one of the things, as you go through my course on this, I got sections dealing with Old Testament passages and prophets, that when you fail to listen to a prophet of God, then you have disobeyed God. So God links his prophetic word through his prophets to obeying him. In fact, there's one section that I have in part two. It says God reveals himself in special revelation. It says when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And that's a really powerful section there, because in the there are several instances in the New Testament where it says Scripture says, but you look up the reference when it's speaking, it says God says. And there's been a whole book written about that, that whatever Scripture speaks, God speaks. So God is tying himself to his revealed word.
Now, that's a very key reason why a faithful minister of the gospel, unlike many professed pastors and preachers and evangelists and media personalities who are televangelists and television faith healers, so-called, the faithful minister is to saturate the word that he proclaims from the pulpit with God's word, because that is the only way God speaks to his people, is through his word. And if the pastor has just a little bit of God's word, and the vast majority of his sermons or messages or sharing time, whatever you want to call it, is filled with his own personal anecdotes and stories and jokes. And I like a good joke as much as the next guy. People know me for my sense of humor, and perhaps they think I use it too much. But in a pulpit, it's really God's word that needs to dominate everything that is said. And, of course, the pastor is to exegete that word.
Right. One of the things that I've always been sensitive of, one of the most amazing things is that God would use frail men as myself and others, because we all understand our weaknesses. But I've always said that as I've approached preaching, is that I'm not there to give my opinion. I pray that my opinion doesn't come across, that I have faithfully interpreted, exegeted a scripture, and that as Charles Spurgeon would say, you're the voice of God. And you got to view yourself. I've talked to a ministerial candidate not too long ago, and he just now actually got approved to be a pastor. He passed an ordination exam, and he would have trial sermons that he would give. And I always mentioned to him one time, you know, the pulpit's not a place to have a chat with people. It is proclaiming what God says with authority, so that when you're speaking, that people need to have a sense God is speaking. You know, there's a passage that is incredible, Chris, and that's Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Let me read it. It says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. And then in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now the incredible thing in verse 14, Chris, is that it says that Jesus is preaching through his preachers. So I've always said one of the most powerful things is when a human preacher is faithful to the scriptures, then you have heard the voice of Christ.
Amen.
And that shows the primacy of preaching. And so that's, yeah.
And that's why the pastor or the preacher is not to be the focal point. His own personality or his own being is not to be what is most concentrated on by the listener. It is the word of God. Now, of course, God uses the personalities of men. He uses the particular character traits of men, their voices and so on, even the quality of their voices and the quality of their intellect and their organizational skills when they prepare a message. So I'm not trying to remove the involvement of the preacher and the importance of what he contributes to a sermon. But at the same time, he's supposed to, as it were, step out of the way and let the Word of God itself bring a message to those listeners, whether it is something they rejoice over or something that strikes terror in them and something that they hate, as long as it's truly from his Word.
I had a pastor friend say once, and it stayed with me, and it was his counsel to young men aspiring to the gospel ministry. He says, the last thing you want to do in the pulpit is be boring. And he made a comment, and I understood the right way. He says, you got to be willing, if necessary, to embarrass yourself. And I understood what he meant there is the purpose is you want to get across what God has said. You know, one of my favorite preachers of all time is George Whitefield. And what set George Whitefield apart in the 18th century from all of the preachers was how he would preach a text. He was an Anglican minister, but he was a Calvinistic Methodist. And England was just cold preaching. All of a sudden, here comes Whitefield along, and he is one of the things that was noted about him was his animation in his preaching. John Newton, you know, wrote Amazing Grace. Once heard as a young man Whitefield speak, and he said, there are many preachers that could, with the same clarity, faithfully preach as Whitefield. But he said no one could preach a text like Whitefield. That alluded to Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah Edwards, when Whitefield came to the American colony, spent some time there with the Edwards. Sarah Edwards said, yeah, there's something amazing about listening to Mr. Whitefield. He could say Mesopotamia and people would start crying.
Now, it's interesting that you brought up Edwards because I don't know if it was only when he read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And in fact, I've heard different reports about this, but I've heard that Edwards' reading of that sermon, which God used to bring about revival in New England, was he read it deadpan, emotionless, and so on. Didn't want to manipulate the emotions of men to bring about a response from them. And of course, you had Whitefield who was yelling at the top of his lungs, and Benjamin Franklin, who used to go to hear him speak, was amazed at the distances with which he could hear Whitefield. And of course, there was no amplification that we have today, like electronically and so forth.
Yeah, so, that instance with Benjamin Franklin, Whitefield was preaching at the steps of the courthouse in Philadelphia. Franklin did not believe the reports that were coming out of England that Whitefield was preaching to crowds of 10, 20, 30,000. He says, I just don't believe it. Well, as Whitefield began to preach, Franklin began to walk off the distance of city blocks in terms of how far could he walk and still clearly hear Whitefield. He walked 10 city blocks in downtown Philadelphia and then did a radius of, he calculated 3 feet per person, and then he said, well, I guess the reports are not exaggerated after all.
Huh.
I mean, Whitefield had a voice probably unlike any other preacher in the history of man, animated. I mean, God raised him up for a purpose, there's no doubt about it.
And one of them was certainly open-air preaching, obviously, because
of
that.
Yeah, it was all mostly open-air because he was denied the pulpits. And
right. Well, there's a Romans 8:28 situation, if I ever heard one, where he's denied the pulpits, and God brings them out into the streets where tens of thousands of people. Yeah, they're here. But going back to Edwards, is that urban legend about Edwards being deadpan and quiet and emotionless, or is that just for the sinners in the hands of an angry God? Or
I think it's there is some merit to it. I read a biography, I forget the author, on Edwards, a huge book on Edwards, and by the way, that sermon that became famous, he did not preach at his own church. He preached it at a visiting church, and it had its impact there at that visiting church.
Yeah, I think he had read his sermon previously, but it didn't have any impact, or none like that, at the other church.
Well, he was not known for his animation like Whitfield, and so
one of the reasons I brought
is what matters is that the Word of God is preached, and the true teacher is always the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes that word, because as Isaiah 55 says, God says, "My word shall go out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I sent it."
Amen.
Wherever the Scripture is faithfully proclaimed, then men can get saved. You know, actually, it goes to show in my book on preaching in the victory of the gospel, when Spurgeon was saved as a 15-year-old, do you know that story?
Yes, in a blizzard, he wandered into a primitive Methodist church.
Yep.
And somebody who was not even the pastor, because the pastor was either at home in bed because of the blizzard or something, I don't know, but the pastor wasn't there, and a layman in the church kept repeating a phrase, a verse of the scripture.
It's John 3. It talks about where Jesus says, being lifted up, referring to the pigs and the serpent. And later, Spurgeon will say about him, he says, this man, he says, these are the words that Spurgeon used, he was an ignorant man.
Right.
However, for 10 minutes, he rambled on, but it was at that point that God used it to finally bring home that thing. So what that demonstrates, that here's a 10-minute message of a man who could barely articulate and string together sensible sentences. According to Spurgeon, God still uses. And that just goes to prove the true teacher is the Holy Spirit. And so wherever that Bible is faithfully proclaimed, it does. I mean, after all, Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the dunamis of God.
Amen.
I like to preach on that, because the word there is the power of God, dunamis. I always tell people, what English word do you think is similar to the word dunamis? And I get the kids, you know, dynamite, because that's the English derivative. That's the derivative, the English dynamite, from the Greek word dunamis. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. And so it's the Holy Spirit that takes that preached word and drives it home to those whom God is going to bring to saving faith, and who he wants to exhort.
In fact, I just heard a message on Saturday at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology that I just attended this past week, and a really really wonderful Anglican minister, Henry Jansma, who is a theologically reformed Anglican, low church Anglican, and a Calvinist Anglican, who is a member of the Anglican Church of North America. It is not a part of the mainline Episcopal Church. But he preached a message, or gave a message, a lecture, on exactly what you were just saying, that although there is some reason for great concern on the homiletic aspect of sermon delivery, that we cannot be overly consumed with that, because the Word of God is a living and true Word, and it will achieve what God what God intends it to accomplish.
Let me mention this before we...
In fact, could you hold on to it, because we have to go to our midway break. This is our longer than normal break, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle, because they air their own public service announcements and commercials to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, while we air our own commercials, which are aired globally. So use this time wisely. Write down questions for our guest, John Otis. And also, write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. We depend on the advertising dollars of our sponsors to exist. We cannot exist without them. So please patronize our advertisers as much as you can and as heavily as you can. And don't forget to write down questions for John Otis at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Reverend Otis, please don't forget where you were going to pick up there when I interrupted you.
Amos, Book of Amos.
Okay, Book of Amos. And we'll be right back, God willing, after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts, We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And they man that toll-free line Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And they have a special offer, and it was an offer that came to be because of their knowledge of a love I have for a particular biography. It's my favorite of all biographies I have ever read. It is called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn. It is an absolutely remarkable hardback biography published by Evangelical Press in the UK, and it is about Spencer Cohn, a 19th century Baptist in New York City. I had the privilege of orchestrating an event a year or two ago featuring my friend Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, where he spoke in the very same building where Spencer Cohn was a pastor for a number of years in the heart of Manhattan, and that's First Baptist Church of Manhattan. And this book, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn, is yours for free if you purchase $50 or more from cvbbs.com. You must use the discount code IRONSHARPENSIRON. That's all one word and all caps, IRONSHARPENSIRON. Put those three words together into one word, no spaces, no dots, and all capital letters. And you'll get that book, as I said, absolutely free with a minimum purchase of $50. You will fall in love with this biography. This biography, I believe, should be a movie. at the very least, should be a documentary, because Spencer Cohn had such an incredible life. He was a school teacher. He was an attorney. He was a stage actor. He was a war hero in the War of 1812. And he was a committed Calvinist as a pastor in the heart of New York City in the 19th century. And his firm convictions on these things at times made him unpopular with other pastors and with other Christians in the surrounding area. But he stood firm to those convictions. And he was a member of the American Bible Society and a really just a fascinating figure. And I'm not exaggerating when I say his life should be a movie. And his devotion to his wife is very, very, very moving. Being a widower myself, I was very deeply moved by the heartache that Spencer Cohn went through after losing his precious bride. In fact, only his wife has a tomb or a tombstone or a grave marker. He has no grave marker, interestingly enough, and that was never explained in the book, because John Thornberry, the author of the biography, didn't know the answer to that. But also the dedication that he had to obey the Lord in baptism. He was baptized on my birthday, February 14th, in the midst of a very cold winter, and he cut through, I believe it was 3 feet of ice in a pond, so that the Baptist minister could baptize him in the dead of winter. But please, take advantage of this offer. Order $50 or more worth of merchandise from cvbbs.com and use the coupon code IRONSHARPENSIRON, all caps, all one word, and you'll get A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn, absolutely free of charge. We are going to return to our discussion with John Otis in a moment, but we just have some upcoming announcements for events that are taking place that I hope that as many of you as possible will attend. The first one is going to be held this Thursday in London, England. I know that we do have listeners in the United Kingdom, and we also specifically have listeners in London. And if you would like to go to a debate, there's going to be one held this Thursday, that's May 2nd, and the theme is Who Resembles Jesus, Christians or Muslims? The debate is between my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and Adnan Rashid, a Muslim apologist. It will be held at Selhurst Church on 2 Prince Road in South Norwood, London. And it's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. there in London this Thursday, May 2nd. For more details, go to the Alpha and Omega Ministries website. That's aomin.org. aomin.org. This Thursday, May 2nd, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Selhurst Church, 2 Prince Road in South Norwood, London. And I'm sorry, folks, if I'm mispronouncing Selhurst, because I know that over in the UK, they pronounce things very often much differently than we do. coming up on Thursday, May 23rd, I am having my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon, and everybody who is a man in ministry leadership is welcome to attend absolutely free of charge. It's Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. My guest speaker is the man I mentioned moments ago, Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's going to be speaking on the theme, How the Dead Sea Scrolls Vindicate the Reliability of the Bible. Everybody who attends is going to be given a heavy sack of free, brand new books donated by most of the major publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom, most of the major Christian publishers, that is, in the United States and the United Kingdom. These are books that I personally selected from these publishers, and they donate to me 100 copies of each book so that every man attending can get his own copy. So you'll be getting between 2 and 3 dozen free books, and this is all free of charge. There's no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. That was the rule of my precious late wife, Julie, who came up with the idea of these pastor's luncheons in the 1990s. She didn't want any hidden agenda, ulterior motives. She just wanted this to be a day where pastors could rest, relax, and enjoy fun, food, fellowship, and an excellent message by a gifted speaker, and walk home with a lot of free gifts, which in this case is free books. and DVDs and CDs sometimes as well. But if you'd like to register for this, absolutely free, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And also, Dr. Tony Costa, when he leaves Carlisle, Pennsylvania, he's going to Long Island, New York, my old stomping grounds, and he's going to be speaking at a number of churches there at events that I have orchestrated for him from Friday, May 24th through Sunday, May 26th. These churches include New Hyde Park Baptist Church in western Nassau County, Long Island, the Wading River Baptist Church in central Suffolk County, Long Island, the Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, which is also in central Suffolk, and Missio Church in Ridge, Long Island, New York, which is eastern Suffolk. I will give you all the details on his entire itinerary here in the United States. If you'd like me to send it to you, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and either put Pastor's Luncheon or put New York speaking engagements for Tony Costa or something similar, and I will get you all the information that you need. And I hope especially to see you Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, if you are a man in ministry leadership. Then I am going to be leaving right after I leave Long Island, after Dr. Costa finishes his New York itinerary. I am heading back to Pennsylvania, but I'm going to Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, to the Elizabethtown College, where the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference is being held. That is going to be on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And this is open to all men in ministry leadership, very much like my pastor's luncheons. If you're a pastor, a deacon, if you are a parachurch leader, as long as you're a man in ministry leadership, you are welcome to register at the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. I Believe in the Holy Spirit is the theme. The speakers include Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Steve Nichols, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. If you'd like to register, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Then, in December, December 19th and the 20th, another conference that I am thrilled to attend is the Foundations Conference. This is a conference that is orchestrated by Sermon Audio. Sermon Audio is well known for their very keen discernment on biblical faithfulness. You don't hear crazy preaching and teaching on Sermon Audio. And if you'd like to attend this event on Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City, I will be there as well, and I hope to see you there. The speakers at this conference, as always, are a really magnificent lineup of men, including Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who I mentioned earlier, who you heard, he was the voiceover for the New Covenant Church NYC, one of my sponsors, and he is the founder of One Passion Ministries, one of the most powerful preachers alive today. Paul Washer, another one of the most powerful preachers alive today, is on the lineup. Reverend Jeff Thomas, what a magnificent preacher of the gospel he is. Pastor for over half a century at Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, now retired from pastoral ministry and dedicated full-time to itinerant evangelism and writing. Reverend Armin Tomasian, a young man who I believe is going to be a household name in the next decade. Remember that I said that. He is a really remarkable, biblically faithful, reformed pastor, and a young man who has gifts and abilities and power far beyond his youth. I am really looking forward to him as well. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, I have not yet heard preach, but if Sermon Audio selected them for this conference, I am very confident they are just as powerful as the other men, and I'm looking forward to hearing them. If you'd like to register for the Foundations Conference, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. It's being held, as I said, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, in the heart of New York City. And I hope to see you there. Look for me when you're there. The venue only holds a little less than 200 people, so if you want to register, do so soon before they run out of room. Then I'm going to be packing up my bags in January and heading back down south to Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, I hope that my guest, John Otis, will meet me there. I'm going to the G3 conference, which is being held at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. And the theme this January is Worship Matters. The exact dates of the conference are Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. And they have a phenomenal lineup of speakers. Costi Hinn, and as I keep saying when I mention his name, you probably that name probably sounds familiar, his last name anyway, because his uncle is the notorious charlatan faith healer, so-called, Benny Hinn. And Costi Hinn, his nephew, who is speaking at the G3 conference, repented of his word of faith heresies and has dedicated his life to exposing his uncle and those of his ilk for the frauds and heretics that they are. And he is a cessationist and a Reformed Baptist today. I'm speaking of Costi Hinn. So he is in the lineup. David Miller is on the lineup, a good old-fashioned fire and brimstone preacher, a really extraordinary man of God. Derek Thomas, who many of you recognize, especially if you're Reformed, what a wonderful preacher and writer he is. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Dr. Joel Beakey, pastor of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My friend Josh Bice, who is the founder of the G3 conference. Paul Washer, again, is on this roster as well, and so is Stephen J. Lawson. My friend Tom Askell, the president of Founders Ministries, is on the lineup. And Vodi Baucom, what an extraordinary, powerful man of God Vodi Baucom is. Well, if you want to register to attend the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I would also strongly recommend, if you have a business or parachurch ministry or organization that you want to promote, I would register for an exhibitor's booth there, because they are expecting over 5,000 people, as they do every year. I will have an exhibitor's booth there as well, so I look forward to seeing you at the G3 conference. That's Thursday, from January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, at the Georgia International Convention Center, College Park, Georgia. That's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Now, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear, if you count on hearing us every day because you love the speakers and topics that we feature that are very often never heard anywhere else, if you love giving the free downloadable MP3s to family, friends, and loved ones, well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing a check via snail mail, you can send in a check to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, and giving to my radio show is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you have extra money to use for benevolent purposes, charitable purposes, then please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, we could really use your advertising dollars. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and I will help you launch an ad campaign, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. So send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. If you are not a member of a faithful, biblically sound local church, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. You've got to rectify that situation. If you need help finding a good church near you, no matter where you live in the world, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have helped people find churches all over the world, even those folks that are going on vacation and they don't know where to go to church when they are away from home. Well, I can help you. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put in the subject line, I need a church home or something similar to that. I will help you. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question for Reverend John Otis on the Scriptures' unchanging authority. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Reverend Otis, do you want to go right into the book of Amos as you were going to, or do you want to take a listener question first?
Let me go to the book of Amos, and there are several passages that I want to be sure we address before our interview is over today.
That's fine.
In Amos 8, well, let me just preface this passage by saying this. In Romans chapter 1, talks about, as we discussed at the outset, that God has revealed himself in creation, therefore men are without excuse. And God has given them over to worshiping four-footed creatures, it says. And one of the signs of judgment upon a culture is homosexuality. They're mentioned at the end of chapter 1. But the worst kind of, I really do believe what we're seeing today in the United States is the clear evidence of God's judgment upon us. And the worst judgment that can ever happen to us is found here in Amos 8, verses 11 and 12, which says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. And people will stagger from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." And so right there is, the worst thing that can happen is that God removes faithful preaching. And you know, in that light, too, about our culture, there's a passage in Isaiah that I want to read, and that is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness." We have to ask ourselves, how is good and evil defined? Well, the Scripture defines that according to the law of God. Sin is a transgression of the law of God, 1 John 3:4. And then one other thing I want to mention is part of the course that I have set up is that the Bible views itself as its own authority. And the question oftentimes arises, why do I believe the Bible to be the Word of God? I've preached several sermons on that, on sermon audio, by the way, why the Bible is the Word of God. It is an incredible passage there in 2 Peter 1, which reads, Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received the honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance of this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word," here's the passage, "we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day draws and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." What that reveals, Chris, is while there is evidence that corroborates the Scriptures, that corroborates the resurrection of Jesus, it's interesting that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus, it says, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. Peter says, the Word of God, inspired, is a more sure testimony than any eyewitness account. So that goes to show the value, the preeminence, and the authority that the Word of God has. I just wanted to be sure that we address that.
Right. Praise God. And we have Grady, a very faithful listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and also a very generous donor and benefactor for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, says, "Great show, Brother Chris and Brother Otis. After all these years, Satan, the father of lies, is still trying to discredit God's holy word. His first attack in Genesis 3 was against God's word. Why do you think others will claim Christianity if they don't believe or obey the infallible, inerrant word of God? Are they blinded by Satan?" Excellent questions.
Well, it's interesting that Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 11, talks about how Satan, let me look that passage up here real quick.
While you're looking it up, I will remind our listeners of our email address. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, like Grady, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. Okay,
I got the passage here. It's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Paul, speaking about false apostles, false teachers, he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds." Now, it all depends on, to answer maybe the question pointedly, it all depends on what exactly men are saying. Now, Grady's question had to do specifically with what now?
Why people call themselves Christians, why do they identify themselves that way if they don't even believe in the inerrancy and the infallibility of God's word? And you even, as you know, you'll have denominations that not only identify as Christian, but they'll even identify with great heroes of the faith of the past. Like you have the United Methodist Church identifying with John Wesley, and in addition to identifying themselves, more importantly, with Jesus Christ himself, and yet they deny many of the most important, vital things taught by not only John Wesley, a mere human being, but also Jesus Christ. Why do they perpetuate this? You know, and you have the mainline Presbyterians, of course, and of course there. I know that there are faithful Christians in these denominations. I don't mean to broad brush and say that they all are heretical or apostate, but many of them are, and many in leadership in those denominations are, and you have Presbyterians who John Knox would never set foot in their church, nor would John Calvin. And if Jesus Christ entered their doors, it would surely be to speak condemnation to them and command them to repent. But anyway,
I think that is it's a legitimate question. It is a very serious thing to question the authority of Scripture. Now, let's remember, who is the true teacher? We've been discussing that briefly. It's the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit, like as Jesus said to the apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." Now, knowing that the Scriptures, Jesus treasured the Scriptures, one has to ask themselves, where is the Holy Spirit in this person's life if they deride the Scriptures, completely think that it is can be full of errors, etc., etc.? I think that does raise a question as to where they stand with Christ. I will say this. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I became a Christian in college as a freshman. I was an agnostic. I didn't know any better. I believed in evolution. But when God saved me by his sovereign grace, I instantly knew that the Bible, I had to defend the Bible, that everything in the Bible had to be true. Now, I didn't have any education whatsoever. But I knew at this point that somehow I'd have to accept what Genesis says about the days of creation, that there was a real Adam and Eve. It just came with the territory, because I believe when God saves someone, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know the Lord.
Right.
So that is a bona fide question to raise, and anybody who challenges the Scripture is suspect, and the Holy Spirit is absent. So
yeah, I mean, you can have Bible scholars who are geniuses, who have photographic memory, who might be able to recite enormous portions of Scripture from memory, and yet they're as lost as Hitler. You know, that they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, and just because they know what's in the Bible does not mean that they are born again. In fact, you can even believe, unlike a liberal, you can believe that these things you're reading are facts, but if your life has not been transformed by the Holy Spirit, it is evidence that you have the same kind of faith that James says the devils have. You believe there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and they tremble.
Yeah, you know, here's another thing in that regard, Chris, is 1 Corinthians 2:13 is a powerful passage. Paul preaching to the Thessalonians, he says in verse 11 through 13, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Now, Paul was not the first preacher to ever go through Thessalonica. So Paul says, however, when I began preaching, you knew there was something different. You knew it was a message from God, and you knew in your heart that it was the Word of God, not a word of a man. Now, how would they know that? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that revealed that to them. And that's why I like to talk about the self-authentication of the Word of God. Sometimes when I've preached on this, I've said, why do I believe the Bible to be the Word of God? And I always present two possibilities, okay? I believe the Bible to be, this is option A, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God because the evidence demonstrated to be, or because the Bible is the Word of God, the evidence will corroborate it as the Word of God. So I always ask people to think about that for a moment. And I always want to point out that the second one is the more biblical answer. I believe the Bible on the basis that God has said it, and yes, evidences will point that to be true, but my faith doesn't rest upon so-called evidences. My faith rests upon, as Paul says, he rose according to the Scriptures, because Jesus said he would rise from the dead. And that, in fact, is why there's a great passage I do want us to mention, too. Here in Luke 24, we find Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, he met up with some disciples, not the 12, but he met up with them on the road to Emmaus, and he says to them, they were dejected, and he says to them, well, what's going on? And he says, are you not aware of what was happening? And then Jesus said to them, he says here in verse 24 and following, and some of those who went with us to the tomb found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he, meaning Jesus, said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And then he goes on in verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. So, it has to be the Holy Spirit that opens men's eyes, and it's interesting that Jesus rebuked these disciples, says, why did he rebuke them? You had the scriptures. You had those scriptures. From the law of Moses to the prophets to the Psalms, why didn't you believe them? It spoke of my death. It spoke of my resurrection. And he rebuked them for that. And so we trust the scriptures as the revealed word of God, and that is its basis for our faith.
I'm going to read a question to you from a listener, and then I'm going to have you answer it when we come back from our final break, which is going to be much more brief than the last one. But we have Christopher from Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, I was browsing through your Triumphant Publications Ministry website, and I noticed that you are an author of a book that critiques or seeks to refute theistic evolution. Having said that, I find it interesting that I believe you are a presuppositionalist, and yet most people involved in the creation defense of a literal young earth six-day creation are evidentialists. I was wondering if you could provide an explanation on why a presuppositionalist would write a book against theistic evolution. And we're going to go to our final break, and we'll have John answer that question when we return. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal or private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It. at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for world, N for news, G for group, .org/podcast.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3944. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sorensen, and we have been interviewing John Otis on Scripture's Unchanging Authority. If you'd like to join us on the air, you better do so immediately because we're running out of time. Chris Sorensen at gmail.com is the email address. As you may recall, Brother Otis, we heard from Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who wants to know why a presuppositionalist would write a book defending young earth creationism and against theistic evolution, because in his experience, most people who address or focus on such matters are evidentialists. If you could very quickly define the difference between a presuppositionalist and an evidentialist and explain why you would write a book as a presuppositionalist on this topic.
I do. I would affirm that I am a presuppositionalist, meaning that I believe the Word of God to be the Word of God because the Bible says it's the Word of God. I don't put God to the test on the tribunal of my reasoning or anybody else's reasoning. Let me just read a section out the back of my book that he was referring to on being theistic evolution and sinful compromise. I make this comment. Evolution is a proven fact, and are the findings of modern science an accurate filter through which we interpret the Bible? Some today think so. They're called theistic evolutionists. They want to wed theory of evolution with the biblical account of creation. They think the Genesis account was never intended to be taken in the plain meaning of the words. They think there's no problem with maintaining a view that man evolved from lower forms of life. The thing about it is, the reason a presuppositionalist as myself would write such a book is because I take the Word of God at face value. Martin Luther said you should take the plain meaning, ordinarily take the plain meaning of Scripture at face value. I believe the Genesis account to be accurate because the Bible says so. The days mean days. You can do a word study on that. The hermeneutic, dust means dust. It doesn't mean some hybrid form that evolved over millions of years. That's imposing something on the Scripture. I think any presuppositionalist would defend it, would write such a book, because it's what Scripture says. It's trying to be faithful hermeneutic to the Word of God. And because the Bible says it, I believe it.
Now, would an evidentialist, in contrast to a presuppositionalist, view the using of evidence? Because I know that both use evidences. I mean, a presuppositionalist who's in a debate, yeah. Well, if he's in a debate, he's going to produce evidence to convince an audience of what he believes. But is it that the evidentialist believes that perhaps they deny Romans 1 too much, even if unconsciously? Would that be it? Because they believe they have to convince men of the existence of God and so forth when...
Well, that is a problem. That is a problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
One time I heard John Ankerberg speak in Atlanta against the movie The Last Temptation of Christ, and I stood behind him while he was talking to two college students that challenged him. And Ankerberg, who was a true evidentialist, said to them, and I appreciated Ankerberg's program at the time. However, he was saying, I'm trying to present to you the evidences of Christianity and all this, and I was getting frustrated, and I was thinking, John, just preach to them, John. Take Paul in Acts 17. He preached to people, the Stoics and the Epicureans, who did not believe in a resurrection. So what did Jesus say? God has raised up this man Jesus to be the judge of the living and the dead. It didn't bother Paul one bit that they didn't believe in that. And so we have to be careful how we use evidences. Yes, I use evidences only in a corroborative sense, but never, ever as the basis for my faith. Because someone could say, what's going to happen if they find the bones of Jesus? And I go, well, whatever bones they found is not Jesus. and why? I said, well, it's over in Jerusalem. No, because the Scripture says he rose again from the dead. Paul said, according to the Scriptures.
Amen. Well, we're out of time, Brother Otis, and I look forward to you returning soon and often. We've got to make this a regular habit rather than waiting months and years to have you return. And I want to make sure our listeners have all the information they need for you. First of all, Triumphant Publications can be found at triumphantpublications.com. That's easy enough. TriumphantPublications.com, and of course the Good News Bible series that we were discussing for the last 2 hours, that can be found at goodnewsbibleseries.com, also very easy to remember, goodnewsbibleseries.com. Do you have any other information that you'd like to provide?
No, that's sufficient, Chris. Let me just encourage people. These courses are all free, And this course on Scripture's unchanging authority, I can guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, that if you take this course and you study these passages, you'll come away with an appreciation of the Word of God that you never had before. And the reason I can say guarantee it, because I know how the Holy Spirit works.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, John, and I thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.